2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Paul's talking to Timothy, preparing Timothy for the ministry. We're preparing Timothy for the most important part of ministry. If Timothy or any of these ministers here or any of you saints of God out there, if you don't understand the resurrection, you're not prepared for ministry. You're not prepared to even be called a child of God if you don't understand the importance of the resurrection. Because see, we remember a lot of things. And Paul starts off, he said, remember. Remember. Bring to mind, memorize, have it down pat. I like that. Learn by heart. You know, I know Deacon Oliver and my father, I've shared this story. He knew everybody's birthday. We got a birthday card because he had memorized our birthdays. He knew our birthdays. And we got married. Cindy got a birthday card from my father. And she didn't get it on the 24th of January. She got it on the 25th. But she got that birthday card because he had memorized these birthdays. And we do. We memorize a lot of things. Veterans Day, 4th of July. You know, we have the Hall of Fame for golf, the Hall of Fame for baseball, the Hall of Fame for football, the Hall of Fame for whatever. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why? Because we want to remember these folks. Okay? But listen, we must, as people of God, we must remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead. We must remember that. If we're going to remember anything, we must remember that. And listen, there's some good things to remember. There's some good things to remember. Listen, Paul, in a Roman jail. In a Roman jail. Now, he's in a Roman jail, locked up, in bonds, for preaching the gospel. And you know what his message was? To the people. In Ephesians chapter 4, his message to the people was this. He says, therefore, Ephesians 4 and 1, the prisoner of the Lord, he said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Amen. What is Paul doing? He's sending out a reminder to the saints. Even though he's in bonds, he's still serving, and he's sending out a call to the people of God to walk how? To walk worthy. To walk worthy. How do we walk worthy? I done heard it today. I seen some of the things that they put on Daquan as he came forward. Walk worthy. How Pastor? How am I going to walk worthy? Here's how. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Amen. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's why we meet. That's why we love one another. That's why we overcome stuff. And we can have a bad day and a bad week. We can get upset with somebody. But as believers, as children of God, we ought to have in us the power to reconcile. To come back together. Even just for a short time. Any of us in here that's been married. I've been married for 33, 34, 35, how many years? I don't know. I'm bad with years like I'm bad with names. But there's times where you have to come back. Together. Amen. Okay? Amen. You know that. Some of y'all know that, right? Because if you stay out there too long, you might not be able to get back. Okay? So Paul says, we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, David understood. It's hard for me to preach without preaching. David, he gonna make his way into these sermons. Why? Because David understood. He remembered the love of God, the compassion of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God that God showed David. So when David wrote this psalm, David knew what he was talking about because he had experienced the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And all of us ought to be able to write this. This ought to be true for every one of us, not just David. Put your name here. The Psalm of David, the Psalm of Margaret, the Psalm of Elmer, the Psalm of Deacon Oliver. It's the Psalm of the believer. Bless the Lord. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is what? Within me. Bless his holy name. David understood. He understood. He understood God had blessed him when he had had problem with Bathsheba. He thanked Nathan so much that he named one of his children after Nathan. He named one of his children after Nathan when Nathan had confronted him and shook him out of that sin. Oh, we need some shakers. See, we can watch believers stay in sin. Believer watching a believer stay in sin, and we don't shake them. Because we don't want to upset them. Well, listen, I'd rather upset them than to let them just stay in that mess. Nathan upset David, and David said, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Believe me, let me tell you something. Nathan was a benefit to David. Nathan was a benefit to David. Because, see, Nathan had no right to challenge the king to walk in that room. It took guts to do that. It took courage to do that, because David could have said, "Off with his head. I don't want to hear Nathan." Watch this, though. Verse number 3, I love this verse. He says, "Who forgiveth? Who forgiveth all thy iniquities?" Oh, man, somebody could put the name there. "Who healeth all thy diseases?" Somebody said, "Well, you know what? I ain't been sick. You done took some leave. You done took some Tylenol for a toothache. Okay? You done had some antibiotics. God has dealt with you and blessed you and healed you of your diseases. And the greatest disease he healed you of is a disease of sin. If you're saved. If you're saved, God, by dying on Calvary's cross, healed you of the disease of sin. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Come on, somebody know something about destruction. I mean, somebody know they was heading for destruction. So you know what? You might be on the road right now. You might be on a road to destruction right now. But thank God that the man of God preaches the word of God, and the word of God is designed to confront you. Yes, sir. While you're on that road. Amen. While you're on that road. You're on that road to hell. And the word of God says, "He redeemeth my life from destruction." And somebody say, I'll say amen. Somebody was on that road to destruction. All of us in here, if you're saved, you was on the road to destruction. If you're not saved, then you're still on the road. If you can't confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior openly, publicly, you're probably on the road to hell. Amen. That's just the Bible talking to you. "Who redeemeth, who redeemed the life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." If you got some mercy in you, you got some tender loving kindness in you, believe me, you weren't born with it.
Amen.
Okay? You got that when you got saved. Some things come with salvation. See, when you receive the Holy Ghost, we've been talking about it on Wednesday. You receive the Holy Ghost. Some folks believe when they receive the Holy Ghost, all they're supposed to do is speak in tongues. No, when you receive the Holy Ghost, here's what happened. For the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, love, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, forbearance. All that come with it.
Amen.
That's the power of the Holy Ghost working in our lives. In our lives. In our lives. Paul hammers it home. Paul understood. He understood what it meant to remember Jesus. He understood, because he understood where he was at. Remember, Paul hated Christians. He hated Christ. He was on the road to destruction. Okay? Paul understood, and in Ephesians chapter 2, he writes this. Now you know, I say this all the time. I preach a couple times this week, and I know I use it, but bear with me, because it's necessary, because somebody in here needs to know how to get saved. Somebody need. If I want to get saved, Pastor, what do I need to do? You need to fall down on your knees and ask God to save you. You can't save yourself, and it's not going to come from you. It's got to come from an outside source, because there ain't no good in us. So Paul gives us the formula to get saved. He said, "For by grace are you saved, and that grace is only found in Christ Jesus." So he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man or woman should boast." Then he goes to verse 10. I'm trying to get to verse 12. "For we are his workmanship." We are his workmanship. After you saved, you are his workmanship. You're no longer yours. No, I don't need to be begging folks. You know, you need to think about being a deacon or an usher or singing in the choir, or working in the kitchen, or helping out here, or helping out here. Listen, you got to come to me. Or come to the head of the trustee board, or come to the head of the deacon board. And say, "Look, I need to do something, because I am God's workmanship. I've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, you ain't going to do the good works at So-So's or Jitso's or the Southern Tavern. Jitso's closed, ain't it? All of them closed. Man, I'm like old school. I'm out to throw the old timers in there. So you're going to do your good works. You're going to do them in God's house. Okay? You're going to do them in God's house. Listen, let me get to verse 12. Watch this now. Watch this. Because Paul's going to cap this off by explaining to you where he was. Paul says that at that time ye were without Christ. Y'all remember that? Bad memories should be. Bad memories living without Christ. How many remember living without Christ? That's scary, ain't it? That's scary. Living without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That's scary stuff. Listen to this. Strangers from the covenant of promise. What's the promise? The promise that you're going to die and go to heaven. If you don't have that promise, your promise is you're going to die and go to hell. And you're going to die. See, Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Let me tell you something, you can't judge nothing that's dead. You look at these little, the mayor of Youngstown and all his little cronies. Listen, they got judged. They was alive and well when they got their sentence or the verdict. So you're going to stand just like they did before a judge. Okay? And if you can't say, well, you know what? I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know what the verdict going to be? Guilty. Guilty. Paul goes on to say, having no hope. Man, listen, think about that. Having no hope. You know what the world tell you? You got hope. No. The word of God says you don't have no hope. And without God in the world. How about that? Without God in the world. You got some folks in your family, some loved ones, some people that you love that are without hope, that are lost and without hope, without God, and they're in the world. You know what? All that's in the world. All that's in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You know what Satan says? He says, I come, John 10:10. I come to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. What did Jesus say? I come to give you life and what? Life more of. So which one? Which one you want today? Abundant life, steal, kill, and destroy. Oh my goodness. Listen. There's a story. Jesus was walking through a certain village. He was walking to a certain village, and 10 men that were lepers, they which stood afar off, because they had to stand afar off. See, when you don't know the Lord, you got to stand afar off. And then they stood afar off, and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And it came to pass that as they went, they were clean. Bible said they were cleansed. You know, some of us been through some stuff. Some of us been delivered. We've been healed of some stuff. We've been blessed. We've been forgiven. Listen, and guess what we haven't done? We haven't taken the time to turn back. We haven't taken the time to say back and say thank you. We haven't gone on about our little business. And we have forgotten because we got bad memories. We have forgotten what God has done to us, and we live in like hellions. But this one leper, he realized it. He probably looked at his hands and said, there was a time my fingers was falling off. I might not have had some fingers on this hand because I was a leper. But now I got both my hands. I'm feeling good. I got my health. And the Bible says, in one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Turn back. And at one time, he probably couldn't even talk loud because leprosy ruined your voice. Leprosy attacked the voice, vocal cords, so he probably couldn't sing loud. So when the 10 sang together, Jesus probably barely heard him because leprosy attacks the vocal cords. But now, listen at him. He turned back and with a loud voice, glorified God. He glorified God and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Giving him thanks. Have you taken the time to give God thanks? How's your memory? Now, here's the interesting part of this next part, and I'm gonna be moving, because I know y'all full of bacon and eggs and grits. But this next part, you have to break it down like this. Speak to the verse. I say it all the time as I teach. Listen, ask the verse a question. Why, Pastor, does it say that Jesus Christ of the seed of David? Why is that in there? Yeah, ask the text a question. Listen, as you study the Word of God, don't try to read it all in one night and then go around boasting and bragging. I read the whole Bible in a year. Listen, it take you 5 years to read it. Didn't take 5 years, but get something out of it. Okay? Why is that in there? Why is that in there? Why is it? Because there's some phony balonies. There's some fake Jesus out there. At the time of the crucifixion, there was literally maybe 30 or 40 Jesus. People said they was the Christ. And they was coming everywhere. We have them today. You know we have them today? Google that. I'm not going to go through it, but there's a number of folks that say they're Jesus today. And they ain't stopped. You got folks running around here saying they're apostles, and they're prophets, and they all this. And you know what I say all the time. Well, listen, I know Claire at the hospital all the time. Shirley been at the hospital all the time. I don't want to hear about you being an apostle if I call you to the hospital and say, my loved one's supposed to come home. If you got the power of an apostle, oh, come on now. I pray. No, when an apostle was here and prayed. Well, if an apostle was here and prayed, that person should have got up. Amen. Tabitha Dorcas got up when Peter came. Oh, yeah. Listen, here's Jesus. Here's Jesus' own words. Don't let me try to. I'm not going to try to read nothing to it. Here's Jesus' own words. Matthew 24:5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed, pay attention, study to show thyself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Take heed that no man deceive you. Why? Why, Jesus? Why are you saying that? For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, listen, you would think a Christian wouldn't be able to be deceived. Oh, let me tell you something. David Koresh said he was God. He was Jesus Christ, and he had a whole bunch of followers. Jim Jones said he was God. He was a reincarnation of Jesus. And guess what? I think 900 folks died with him. Something like that. My numbers may be off. But listen, Paul on his way to Rome to die. And Paul's getting his people ready. He's talking to them, Acts 20, and he's getting his folks ready because he knows what's going to happen. See, this is why I sit here and spend time with these men and get them up here. Learn this gospel. Learn the preacher because, listen, I ain't guaranteed to be here next week. Amen. Okay? The ministry got to go on and somebody got to step up here and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? I believe the church in good hands. Amen. Okay? But Paul says this, on his way to die, knowing he's going to die, but listen to what he said now. Watch this, because I don't want y'all to think I'm making anything up. He said, for I know this, verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing, and for after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They're going to eat the flock up. Yeah. Listen, let me tell you something. We have one offering. Okay? We have one offering Sunday. That's it. I don't have to take up an offering on Christmas service. We don't take an offering on Thanksgiving service. We don't take an offering on Friday when we have service. Listen, I know somebody said, every time the church meets, y'all take up an offering. Listen, we take up one offering. If we don't get it done on Sunday morning, we ain't getting it done. Okay? We ain't getting it done. All right? I'm not having y'all selling no chicken dinners. Listen, y'all don't have to sit here and put me up at the Holiday Inn for a pastor anniversary banquet and all that. Listen. That's it. Okay? Y'all give me a salary. Y'all pay me. That's all. That's it. I don't need no more. That's all y'all give me. That's all I got. But watch out. Paul says, watch out. Why? Why? He says, also, verse 30, of your own selves shall men arise. Arise. Resurrection word. They're going to rise up. What they going to do? Speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. You ever talk to people? They don't know nothing about Jesus. They don't know nothing about Jesus. They know all about their church. And they know all about their pastor, but they don't know nothing about Jesus. Okay? You tell them to turn to Revelation and they in Genesis. Because they don't know nothing about the Bible. They know all about their pastor. They all about their church. They know their church history. They all that. But you need to know the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. You know what Paul said? I'm gonna read 31 because it's just awesome here. He said, therefore, watch. Here's our word. Watch. Watch me. Watch me. Watch how I treat my wife. Okay? Watch how I treat my wife. Watch how I treat little kids. Watch how I treat the single women in the church. Watch me. Watch him. Watch him. Because if they're not faithful in their marriages, they know when they're going to be faithful in the things of God. Amen. Let me say that again. Somebody need to hear it. Amen. If we can't be faithful to the God we serve, who we say have this supernatural power that we have incorporated in us, if we can't be faithful in marriage, we ain't going to be faithful in the world, in the things of God. We just not. Oh. Well, he's only human. He's only a man. No, we supermen. We supermen. We supermen. We supermen. And somebody said, well, you know, Superman and Batman. No, I'm taking Superman. Batman can't fly. We supermen. Practice what you preach. Somebody say, still waters. Moving right along. Listen. Do you have the right Jesus? Do you understand why they call him Jesus, the Son of David? Because that was his messianic name. He had to come from the lineage of David. So when folks got it right, folks got blessed. When folks called him by his right name, they got him blessed. Now the question you have there, is he the Son of David to you? Is he the Messiah? Is he God in the flesh? Is he the one who stepped out of glory? Is he the one in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God? Amen. You know, there was a Canaanite woman. She had a crazy, crazy daughter. Some of y'all can relate to that. Some of y'all got crazy kids. Okay, got crazy kids. It don't got to be a daughter. It can be a son. Amen. Got crazy kids. I got three of them. Okay? They're here today. Crazy kids. I love them. And I go to Jesus on their behalf. And they're getting better. Watch what this woman did. This woman from Cana. She wasn't even a Christian. She wasn't even a believer. She wasn't even supposed to be near Jesus. And it says in Matthew 5:15. It said, and behold, verse 22. Behold, a woman of Cana. I like that. Came out of the coast. Came a long way to get to Jesus. Came out of the coast and cried unto him. No, she cried. I can't do nothing with this child. There's no power in me to help her. There's nothing in me that can help her. Because, listen, I'm just like her. I'm just flesh and blood. But I know where to go. And the Bible said, and she cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me. That's interesting play of words. She didn't say have mercy on the daughter. Because see, most of the time the daughter crazy, they like being crazy. Well, I like being crazy. I like my gray goose. I like going to the movies. I like naked girls. So you know, son and daughter, they crazy. And they don't have a problem being crazy. But this woman, she had enough sense to know this craziness if she died her craziness. If she died her craziness, the mother going to be miserable, because the mother knew the Lord and knew, contrary to most preachers, you go to most funerals, you know, I've been to maybe 100. I ain't never heard anybody going to hell. Everybody in heaven, no matter how you die. All you got to do is die. This woman knew better. This woman knew better. She knew her daughter died in this craziness. She was going to go to hell, and the mother was going to be miserable forever and hurt because she didn't feel like she'd done enough. So she goes to Jesus. She said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Yeah. Please, Lord. Because this crazy daughter don't care right now. Thou son of David. Now she put some emphasis on that. So somebody, I think somebody said put some sugar on it. I think Margaret said put some sugar on it. Or some salt on it. Whatever she said. Some yeast on it. She put something on it. She said, have mercy on me, O Lord. I missed that the first time. O Lord, thou son of David. She hit it on both. She said, I know you're God. I know you're God. And then if you don't know, I know you are the son of David. Amen. She said, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. You know, we some of y'all, we act like we so sophisticated. We so religious. You know, we got daughters grievously vexed with the devil. And they be twerking and dancing and taking selfies and doing all that's satanic. Oh, Pastor, you gone old boy. Oh, ain't nothing wrong with twerking. Rihanna twerking. You know? I don't even know if I'm saying it right, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Listen, let me tell y'all something. Pray for your kids. Amen. Pray for your kids. Pray for the kids. And then when you pray for your kids, pray for them. Oh, Lord, thou son of David. You want to make sure you can get through. You want to make sure you do everything possible to get through. Because if you don't, and your twerking daughter or gang-banging son die, and you haven't done everything you can do, you're going to be miserable. I'm not going to be miserable. If my twerking daughter and my gang-banging son, because I'm going to do everything I can for them. I'll get them in church, pray for them, and preach to them, and love them. And that's. Amen. Listen, I'm moving. The importance of the bodily resurrection. Now this is important. We talk about the resurrection. We just sang about the resurrection. We did a play about the resurrection. Listen, why is the resurrection so important? Listen, it's important because without the resurrection, the word of God said you have no hope. Okay? He said, if without the resurrection, I can preach all day. My preaching is vain. He said, without the resurrection, really I'm a liar. This is what the word of God says, and I'm going to read it. Without the resurrection, I have nothing to preach about. Without the resurrection, I can sit here all day and talk about our loved ones in heaven, because without the resurrection, ain't nobody in heaven. Amen. Ain't nobody in heaven without the resurrection. Why? Preacher, you got to show me that. I'm going to show you that. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to wind this down. I'm going fast. Listen, here's what Paul says. Now, if Christ be preached, 1 Corinthians 15, 12. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Because they don't want no resurrection of the dead. That's a game changer. That's a life changer. That's what he says. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? That's the problem. Why? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Mean nothing. And your faith also is in vain. For by grace are you saved through faith. Well, you're not saved because you don't have faith. Because if there's no resurrection, no faith. No faith, no salvation. No salvation, no heaven. Verse 13, 15. Yea, and if we are found false witness of God, liars, preachers. All y'all out there testifying that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. If he didn't rise, you're lying. You are. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ not be raised, now your faith is vain, and you are in your sins, then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are what? Perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Listen, no resurrection, no hope. no faith, no glory, no heaven, only hell. Now, some people say, well, you just died, you're into a swoon. Okay? Now, I drive the back roads to work. I see raccoons and deer all over. That's us. If there's no resurrection, that's us. You know, it just costs us 10 grand to drop us in a hole. Last point. Make it personal. Make the resurrection personal. Y'all see that? Paul made the resurrection personal. This is what he said. He says, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Paul made it personal. You have to make the resurrection of Christ personal. Make it your gospel. See, we call ourselves written epistles that all men can read. When somebody read us, they ought to see the fact that we believe in the resurrection. Okay? You have to. See, without a belief in the resurrection, you have no faith. Romans 10:9. We know it. I know it, but I'm gonna turn to it because it's hard for me sometimes to read scripture when I'm going 90 miles an hour. And this is, for whatever reason, this is a hard one for me to understand or to memorize. But listen what it says. Romans 10:9. It says this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. You can't stop there. Because a whole lot of people make a verbal confession. It means nothing. You got to keep on moving down this text. And shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen. Then shall you be saved. Have you made a verbal confession that Jesus Christ is Lord? That he was born as a virgin? That he died on Calvary's cross? And he was raised on the third day? That's you got to believe that. Everybody can't believe that. You can't believe it on your own. You got to ask God. God, I really don't understand all that. I really don't see how a man could die and be raised on the third day. You know what you need to do? Ask God to give you the faith to believe. Amen. Say, God, give me the faith to believe what that preacher's saying, because he's saying that if I don't believe that, I'm not a Christian. Mm-hmm. Here's Paul. Paul made it so personal. You need to make it personal. Paul, the resurrection was so personal. To Paul, he wrote this in Romans 1:16. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know what the gospel of Christ is? Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave. If somebody ever asks you, say, well, what is the gospel of Christ? Here's what it is. Simple. Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave. If you got that, you got it all. This ain't rocket science. This ain't deep. See, some of you know, you got to get the doctrine of soteriology, and you got to understand end time prophecy, and you got to understand hermeneutics and homiletics. No. Here's the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave. You got that? You're on your way to Calvary. You got that? When you get to Calvary, then you're on your way to heaven. Pastor, that's hard. Let me tell you something. Paul told the Philippian church, he said this. He says in Philippians 2:12, he said this. Work out. Somebody don't like that word. Work out. Work out. Work. Work. I know we got a lot of socialists in here. Work. Work. Okay. Work. I'm going to keep saying work. Work is hard. Okay? Some folks in here to retire from General Motors and Packard and the steel mills. Work. Work out your salvation. Yours, not mine. You can't work mine out. Amen. Work out yours. That's hard enough. Mm-hmm. Work out your salvation. Work it out. Get on your knees. Get around some folks that love the Lord, and get around some folks that worship God, and some folks that know how to pray, and some folks know how to talk to you about the things of God. Yeah. We get on our social networks and social media, but let's talk about Jesus. Get you some friends that love the Lord. Get you some friends that love the Lord. And work out. I got a workout partner. I got a workout partner. And listen, I'll slap his phone out of his hand if he's sitting there texting while we're working out. Listen, no, we ain't come to do that. We came here to work out. All right, I ain't come here to play. I can stay home with Cindy and play. That ain't come out right. Work out your salvation. How? With fear and trembling. Why are you going to grow? Just let me tell you, let me say something. I'm going to close. If you go to the gym, and I've been going to the gym, and I'm not saying that because, you know, because I'm not boasting about the fact that I've worked out all my life. I've been working out all my life. It's just what I do. I don't have no choice now. But if I went to the gym, and every time I went to the gym, I put 100 pounds on the bar, what would happen? Nothing. I wouldn't grow. You know, you and I tell my partners, they get them in the gym, and I say, put the weight on, and it's a heavy. Well, listen, if you ain't scared of the weight, you can't grow. You got to be scared that it's going to crush you. And until you get that fear where you're scared that it's going to crush you, you're not going to grow. That's why they call it resistance training. Well, see, the Word of God saying, listen, work out your salvation. And it's fearful. Because you don't want to go to school. And you don't want to, you know, we'll wear the Steeler stuff. We'll wear our Brown stuff. We'll wear anything. We'll wear, you know, Lil Wayne's hats and shirts and all that. We'll wear anything. But we won't wear I Love Jesus. If I bought a bunch of I Love Jesus shirts, nice ones too. Now I mean nice. They'll sit in here forever. Why? Because it's fearful. I heard Minister Madison say this morning, when he was preaching, them apostles was afraid at first. See? But then God said this. When you get saved, he said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but a power. See, if you're saved, you got power. You do. You got power. Somebody saying it, wonder working power. How's your power? Are you tapped in? Are you tired? Are you scared? Boyfriend gonna leave you if you say you're a Christian? Girls, they gonna like you because they go, oh, you're a nerdy, you're a little Christian boy. Listen, they laugh at you now. They won't laugh at you in 10 years. They may be calling you to be their lawyer. Well, that's all I have.